First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. And as always, there's just so much to talk about each and every day. It's just, some days it's fun and some days it's burdensome, because we always have to keep you guys informed because your mainstream media just don't do their job. But it's okay. We love it. We have a lot of fun. How are you, Mr. Martin? Everything going okay?
No. Off work. I'm not going to complain about getting a raise today because it's still a little cool outside. Once it warms up, I'm going to complain again. So,
so you don't mind today, right? Well, tomorrow you'll probably be okay, too.
Yeah.
And the good news is it's going to be like 69 Thursday, and you're off that night anyway. So that works out great.
Yeah, one form or another, yeah. Which means my wife will probably... I have a whole list of stuff that I can do out in the yard after. I might have to work late that day so I can avoid coming home to the honey-do list.
I hear you, man. I hear you. And that honey-do list never gets smaller. Mine is still growing, and my honey-do isn't even here right now, so it's kind of strange. But I tell you, the weather's getting nicer. Me and my son actually went out in my backyard, and we've got it all set up to plant a garden this year. It's the first one I've done in a long time, so that's going to be pretty interesting. And I was talking to a friend of mine today. They own horses, and they're like, when is it ever going to end? Now they got to continue feeding their horses hay. They've got like 24 horses that they take care of. And, they're like, we need the grass to grow. Hay gets expensive after a while, so it's pretty funny. But I tell you, we do have some local news.
I'm right there with them. But I thought you were going to tell me you have friends that have horses and you were using, the processed hay, the pre-composted hay out of the back end of a horse for your garden.
No, not yet. We'll get there, though. We'll get there. We just now got it all tilled up. We're not planting anything for at least another week or two. I really don't want to. I'm too concerned with this weather. So we're going to wait a couple of weeks, make sure this stuff's for the most part gone. And then we'll play Farmer Ed and Farmer John. You know John.
I'm a big fan of gardens, and I plant a lot of apple trees because one of my favorite sayings, and I can't place the individual that said it, but it wasn't me, so I won't take credit for it. But planting a garden, growing your own money.
Well, it really is. It really is. And I haven't done it in years. And I tell you, it's fascinating because, you know, I look at a grocery bill. That's what I was talking to my son about the other day or a couple of weeks ago when he decided he wanted to do it. I really wasn't into it. And he talked me into it. He's like, Dad, I'm going to do it. The question is, you're going to help me or not? I'm like, well, you know, yeah, I'm going to feel guilty if I don't. So, sure, let's do it. But, you know, it really is, because I know when we were back doing gardens back in the old days, I mean, you saved a ton of money on vegetables and things like that. And, of course, everybody knows, you know, with Monsanto crap, vegetables really aren't that good, the GMOs and all that junk. You know, even bananas aren't bananas anymore because of that junk. And, you know, and then you think about the price of fresh produce these days. So you can eat healthy for a lot less if you don't mind doing a little bit of work. So, and for you guys who aren't used to this kind of talk, this has been the Farm Report from MVM Radio right here live to you.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to put
going into the summer, we're going to get a green pepper, squash, and tomato report from Ed every day.
There you go. Couple of quick sports stories we want to get into.
I'll tell you what, Ed. If in Kentucky, if you don't have success with green peppers, tomatoes, and squash, give it up.
Oh, yeah. That's a given. That's a given. We want to get to some sports stories real quick first. A little unusual for us, but we want to hit there. As everybody here in Louisville knows, Louisville and Kentucky both have made the NCAA tournament.
Hey,
Louisville is the number four seed.
EKU's in there too.
I was getting ready to go there. Yeah, EKU is in there as well.
Okay. My alma mater. Not that they have a snowball chance in hell, but they're there.
Well, you know, that's the beauty of the NCAA tournament. You never know who has a chance. And when you're looking at this, when we look at these matchups, it's really interesting because UK and UofL both are in the Midwest bracket. Louisville has a 4 seed, Kentucky has an 8 seed, and what that essentially means is if they win their first two games, they'll actually meet in the Sweet 16. So they'll have to play each other in the Sweet 16. So I'm really hoping that that happens. That would be a matchup for all of us that we would love here. And, you know, and I think Warren Buffett's $1 billion challenge is pretty safe. When I looked at this tournament bracket earlier today, you know, I looked at this tournament bracket earlier today, and I'm like, oh, come on. Really? Seriously? You know, they have played favorites in some of these things as far as I'm concerned. But I will say this, and I'll go on record right now. Florida will not be your NCAA tournament champion. There's a ton of people picking Florida, and there's a ton of people picking Arizona right out of the gate. Florida will not be there, neither will Arizona. I'll put that out there right now.
I think Arizona's got a chance. I think if Florida was showing us anything when they played UK, that they can have a bad game. And against the right team, they might make Final 8, Elite 8, they might make Final 4. But if they have a game similar to what they played against UK, they're going to get beat. I'll tell you what. You like the Sweet 16 matchup with UK UofL? I think it's a ripoff. I honestly do. I think UK got screwed on their seed. I think UofL really got screwed on their seed because, you know, the AP poll comes out, and, of course, the top four teams in the AP poll are number one seeds. Fair enough. Number five in the AP poll is Louisville. Yet the NCAA is basically saying, we don't care. We're going to treat you like a 13 to a 16 rank. So UofL got screwed. I personally was talking to a couple of rabid UK fans at work today, and we actually weren't needling each other. We're both saying, you know, they're acknowledging, hey, UofL got screwed. And I'm saying, yeah, UK did too. And I think at some point, kind of like the Masters jacket, you know, once you win a Masters, you're always in. I think if you're, you know, a recent NCAA champ, maybe they can go back 3 or 4 years. I think the tournament ought to try to keep them in different brackets. So when you look at a Midwest bracket, You're looking at the Midwest bracket. There are three recent champions in there. That's a load of crap.
Well, okay, but I mean, let's be real here, too. For one thing, I totally disagree with you. We're not going to make this whole show sports because we do have a lot to get into, but I totally disagree with you. I think a number eight seed for Kentucky, the way Kentucky has been up and down, especially over the last couple of over the last month, month and a half, I think an eight seed was more than fair, and I'm a Wildcat fan, and I think the eight seed was more than fair. And as far as Louisville with a four seed, much as I like the Cards, I mean, let's look at things realistically. They weren't playing in any kind of a conference. The American Conference? Are you kidding me? I mean, there's no strength of conference there.
Before the tournament, the American Conference had five of the top 25 teams in the nation. They say what you will. At SMU, nobody got screwed worse than SMU.
Well, I disagree with your assessment on that. Could I see Louisville as a two or three? Could I see Louisville as a two or a three? Sure. But I don't think a four was that bad either, considering the conference alignment. And Kentucky certainly did not deserve to go any higher than eight.
I look at who some of the other seven and eight seeds are. I look at who some of the other four seeds are and who some of the three seeds are. And, you know, it seems like there's politics. They say there's not.
Well, it's always politics.
You know, in the end, my UK fans, and I mean they are fans at work. Yeah. We all agree. You know, eight seed not that bad, four seed not that bad, because after the first, you know, you got to beat them all to win it all, and after the first two rounds, really doesn't matter anyway what your seed was. You're going to start slamming into, you know, either the Cinderella stories, or you're going to start slamming into the perennial powerhouses. So,
well,
after the first two rounds, it doesn't really matter.
Well, don't underestimate Cinderella's either. I mean, just a few years ago, Gonzaga was a Cinderella. Now Gonzaga is in the tournament every year, you know.
After the first couple rounds, everybody who's left deserves to be there. There's, you know, and that's just the way it's going to work out. So,
I'll be honest, I'm not sure any of the number one seeds will get to the final game this year, and I haven't filled out my bracket yet, but just glancing. But anyway, one more quick sports story, then we'll move on to what people come here for, which is the news, the issues, and the politics. But real quick, Teddy Bridgewater actually did some work today. You know, Teddy Bridgewater refused to work out at the NFL Combines. He was told not to by his agent and everybody else, and he did not. But what makes this story interesting, though, Teddy had to run his 40-yard dash today. You know, it's pro day, so he had to do some different things. So he ran his 40-yard dash. He ran it in 4.78 seconds unofficially. Texas A&M's Johnny Manziel, who is considered a high prospect as well, he ran a 4.68 official 40-yard dash. And get a comment in the chat room. Yes, we cover politics. We're getting there in just a second. So he ran his 40. Then he had to spend some time today throwing the ball to Louisville receivers. Things like that, you know, so everybody could watch him and things. But what's fascinating is the Courier Journal puts out this story about this, talking, you know, it basically makes it look like Teddy did such a great job. And then when you go to ESPN and listen to ESPN analysts and stuff like that, they're saying Teddy hurt his stock today, that he did not look impressive at all. So it's going to be interesting, because at one point people were thinking Teddy Bridgewater may be the number one draft pick. And now we're going to find out. And, thank you very much. In the chat room, our good friend Paul over Stop It, he says Donovan McNabb and Ron Jaworski were both there today, too, at the Pro Day. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that turns out. We will find out, I assure you. I personally, just looking at the stuff I've seen, and I saw a couple of little videos, I thought Teddy just looked like Teddy. There wasn't anything that was impressive. But maybe it's just because I've gotten so used to watching Teddy Bridgewater over the last few years be as good as he is, that it's going to take a lot to impress me from this guy, because I think Teddy Bridgewater is a complete package, and he should go at least to the top three. I certainly believe that, and, you know, I don't see how he could have hurt himself at all just walking onto the field today and throwing a couple of passes. He couldn't hurt himself, you know, so I don't know. But
no, They talk about the combines and everything, and anybody that wants, you know, I just don't put too much weight in it. It's just Teddy can engineer a football field. He can get it going, and anybody that thinks that, you know, puts all this weight on the combine, it's like I would ask you to go back and Google Tom Brady's assessment for the combine.
Well, that's true. And again, then this wasn't the NFL
combine. Then after you do that, tell me about the combine.
Well, that's true. And again, this wasn't the combine. He refused to work out at the combine.
Well,
and he
they spend the 40 times. They're doing all the analytical stuff.
Right.
It's like, that's fine. Go back and check out Tom Brady. And then, while you're at it, check out a few of the major league busts that we've had in the combines. Like I can't even think of some of them. They flamed out so quick in the NFL. But
Tim Couch, Jeff Brom, just to name a couple. And just before that was UK and a
UFL. I still have business associates in Cleveland who are mad at me over that.
right.
They're like, "This sounds good." I'm like, "I'm sorry."
And you're right. And our good friend Paul, the chat room, is also telling us, that McNabb said there was nothing that happened today that would have hurt Teddy. Jaworski said the same thing. Nothing that went on today hurt Teddy at all in the draft. And I believe that. I just thought ESPN was being overly critical. I thought that they were just way off base with their assessment today. And so hopefully, McNabb and Jaworski are good. We will find out. Let's switch gears just a little bit. Actually, let's just take a quick break, and we'll come back and get into some politics, folks, because I tell you, there's a really interesting story. Joe Gerth did in the Courier-Journal about Jack Conway and the gay marriage appeal, but there's also another story that Attorney General Jack Conway is involved in that concerns Councilman David James. So we get to have two stories involving the Attorney General. We'll get into a lot more in just a minute. You listen to the Ed Springson Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Real quick, for you guys that want to call in, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For everybody that's in the chat, in the listening queue at this time, please hit the number 1 on your dial pad, and we will get you on there as soon as possible. We appreciate you listening in. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
All right, we are back, and I tell you what, man. Some days you just can't win for losing, and it is Monday. Our good friend Paul's in the chat room once again. 25% of the show is over and no politics. With his hands all crossed. Hey, life happens, man. Sometimes you just got to go with the flow. I tell you, last 2 weeks, and, talking about Jack Conway, if we remember U.S. District Judge John Hayburn had ruled, that Kentucky had to recognize same-sex marriages performed in other states. And as we know, over the last 2 weeks, that's just been a story that just won't go away. But the reason it don't go away is because the majority of Kentuckians, myself included, I believe that Conway's oath of office required him to appeal this decision. And, of course, we know that Steve Beshear decided to go along with that, go ahead and appeal it himself, probably to help his son Andrew, who's looking for office down the road. But it's interesting because Joe Girth with the Courier-Journal, the Courier-Journal usually does the damage control for Democrats, says that the state constitution doesn't say what actions the attorney general has to take in defense of these kind of situations. And he goes on to talk about Chapter 15 of the Kentucky Revised Statutes, and it goes all the way back to the 1970s. 1974 ruling by the Kentucky State, said that the KRS Chapter 15 did not force the attorney to appeal or defend any law. Now, common sense and common logic is if we elect an attorney general and he takes an oath to uphold the Constitution, the laws of the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Kentucky, that would mean he does have to defend the laws. That's what his oath was. So it's kind of a fine line spinning here. The bottom line is the Courier once again appears to be leading the way with Joe Girth, trying to give Conway an easy out. For 2 weeks now, Conway has been under the gun on this. And it's really fascinating that it took the Courier-Journal 2 weeks to come up with a way to defend him. We had to go all the way back to 1974. That's pretty good. Great research, Joe. I like the research. I was glad to see your research or something. But, at the same time, I just once again, we've got this attorney general being protected by mainstream media. What do you think about that?
Well, as we discussed, as a matter of constitution, I'm not going to sit here and research constitutional law going back to try to contort one way or the other what Jack Conway should have come up with. Now, I know part of the gist of the article and the argument is, as a Commonwealth's attorney, he represents all people in Kentucky. So, in this, this is a Kentucky issue, he's not obligated to take one side or the other. But the fact of the matter is, the side that's looking to have gay marriage recognized already, obviously, has counsel. And they're winning. Yeah, and rightfully so. So, as I said way back when, I cannot sometimes believe I say it, but I agree with Beshear. It's one of those things that needs a little more clarity, needs a little more affirming in the courts. You take it to the higher court, because if you don't, somebody will sooner or later. Somebody with an ideology they want to push is going to bring it up. I look at it like as a business owner. Not that it's a problem for me. And personally, if I had a gay couple and they wanted to work within the insurance we provide and things like that, personally not opposed to it. But what if your insurance company? You get into matters of insurance, of survivorship, of estate rights and things like that. You need more clarity to the point that it can't be challenged, because people are going to start structuring their lives and their businesses and their personal business insurance, medical needs and insurance and whatnot. It's all going to be structured off of this. So you need as much clarity as possible, because for so many people, it's a lifetime decision. And if we don't have that clarity, some couple is going to have their marriage recognized, yada, 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 creative right, a creative argument to oppose it, and all of a sudden everything is going to be set aside and a stay put on it. It could be disruptive. So all you take, Beshear's right.
Well,
let's do it. It's a losing fight, but let's get it affirmed one more court higher.
Well, and the big issue here is this. Like you said, it's going to affect just about everything in Kentucky. If we have to start recognizing laws from other states, for anything, then it's going to compromise the laws we have on the books. So we're going to start getting into this big circle jerk where we have to revisit each and every law on the books. But when you get into a situation like gay marriage, or like you pointed out, medical and all the other things, it becomes a very, very serious situation that has to be addressed. And Jack Conway, the biggest problem I had with his decision was the fact that he just, you know, it was his personal decision that he couldn't support anything that he thought was discrimination. Well, you know, if you wanted to tell me that the Constitution, there was no way to appeal this and come up with something better than that, but what he did was he interjected his personal beliefs, not law, not Chapter 15 of the KRS, not the 1974 ruling. He could have done all that on his own and made it right, and people would have at least had to understand or recognize it. Instead, he decided to interject and say, well, I did this because I don't believe in discrimination, and started bawling and made people think, you know, and that was totally wrong with it. Let's go to the phones, though. We've already got, I told you we was going to get Paul on here sometime tonight. I just felt it. Hello, Mr. Paul. How are you?
Power to the people. The Crimean people.
You know, do they have a river?
Apparently the the people of Crimea are actually doing that which we as American citizens are guaranteed, and that is choosing who we want to associate with. And yet we have people in our federal government that, and again, this is akin to this whole us Kentucky choosing certain things that we prefer. We voted on that constitutional amendment.
Right.
And Conway says, no, that constitutional amendment doesn't mean anything. So the will of the people is being thwarted, unlike the people of Crimea who basically say, hey, we no longer want to be part of the Ukraine. And we're guaranteed that right here, too. So Ed, I agree with you. It is a slippery slope because everything's getting convoluted these days. It's getting convoluted.
Do they have a river over there?
I'm not going there, Ed. You already pulled
that
off.
I'm not going there either.
Well, we're actually going to get into Crimea here in just a minute because I want to go to this second story with Attorney General Jack Conway before we get there. But we are going to get into Crimea. But there are many episodes like Jack Conway where I hope they do have a river over there so we could just send a picture of it to him with the encryption on the bottom of it, Crimea River Jack. You know what I mean? Well, that guy just disgusts me anymore.
Jack's not going to do his job, if he refuses to do the job that he got elected to do, then he either needs to get out of the way and let somebody who does want to do the job, or, and I'm going to use your favorite term, we ought to find a way to dump his sorry ass, okay?
Well, there ain't no doubt. I agree with you. He can't do his job based on his personal... Go ahead.
Well, we found a proper place for Richie Farmer.
Yes, we did.
Richie's right where he needs to be, almost. Almost. He doesn't get a one-week stay, which I find fascinating.
Go ahead, Ed.
I was going to say, again, I can't believe I'm taking Bashir's side in this, but Jack Conway either, you know, if he didn't agree with it, that's fine. I get that. You know, I don't agree with it either. But if you're the AG, it's fine. If for political purposes you want to cover your ass and not be for discrimination, then come out and tell people the logic. Bashir did a fine job at it. He said, this is a big deal. He says, we need as much reaffirmation and clarity as possible. That's why I'm doing this. That's all Conway had to do is sit there and say, you know, on a personal level, I would rather not do this, but as the constitutional officer, you know, the elected constitutional officer that I am, and a lawyer, I feel the need to, you know, argue this adequately and see the decision affirmed.
Well,
that's
again,
all he had to say.
Well, again, the biggest complaint I've got, he wanted to sit here and use the daggone argument that he's now covering and hiding behind Joe Girth with, that according to Chapter 15, and use the logical argument, okay. I won't agree with his decision, but it would have been based in legal principle, which is his job. But to sit here and hide behind tears and cry that he just doesn't personally agree with this because there's discrimination, that to me was an insult of what we elected him to do. Now he's hiding behind, you know, Joe Girth there by 2 weeks later. And by the way, Paul, the deal that Richie Farmer got, extending a week so he could watch his son play in the Sweet 16 state championships, that is no different than the majority of people. This is done every day. He actually didn't receive any favorable treatment on that. So I just wanted to point that out. Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, he's not doing the Crimea River thing. He's... He just simply made a simple request that, hey, can I watch my boy play ball? You know what?
Yeah, and those are granted
fair
all the
enough.
Time. And
he's not asking for time off. He just says, you know, hey, I'll go. Can I watch my boy play ball before I go?
Now, if he shows up with his mustache shaved off, his hair dyed to closer resemble his kid, and his kid all of a sudden makes 12 three-pointers in a game and he's never been able to shoot past 5 feet from the rim, then we'll know Farmer wanted to daggone do something. He deserves something else to go to jail for. But right now, that's actually pretty customary. And, so I really had no problem with it. I do want to move on, and here's why. Once again, Jack Conway back
be
in the
careful.
Limelight. Oh, be careful with what?
Be careful where you go. I think I know where you're going.
Hey, you might.
Be careful. I'm
going to
launch.
I'm not worried about
I'm going to launch. If you go there.
Well, did you get to launch? I'm going to leave your mic open. But anyway, you know, there's been a lot of question about Councilman David James holding two jobs. He has been with the University of Louisville Police Department for years, since before he became a Metro Councilman. County Attorney Mike O'Connell has known that David James has been with the University of Louisville Police Department since David James first ran for Metro Council. He shows up at Metro Council meetings in uniform, coming straight from work. He's never hidden it, totally honest about it. He's done nothing wrong as far as disclosure about this. In fact, he openly bragged about being a University of Louisville cop because he's been a cop his whole life. Well, County Attorney Mike O'Connell decided he was going to have a problem with that because David James decided to go ahead and back Mike O'Connell's challenger for the county attorney seat. There's no other way around this. This is Jim King and Mike O'Connell trying to get David James out. Well, what's interesting here is Mike O'Connell has tried to argue that David James, because he has an oath to the police, to the University of Louisville Police Department, not the LMPD, but a university police department, privately paid for, and he's got an oath to the Metro Council, that he can't hold both jobs and that he shouldn't be allowed to vote on the council until he either resigns the Metro Council or quits his police job. So Mike O'Connell sends this legal question to Kentucky Attorney General Jack Conway, and everybody had been waiting for this decision. On Thursday, Jack Conway sent a letter out to Tom Wine, the Commonwealth's attorney right here in Jefferson County. He sits right here in Jefferson County. And said that because James holds a – this is the interesting thing, guys. This is why I'm going to leave Paul's mic open, because he's going to have a field day with this, Ed. And you are too. But Conway says in this letter, because David James holds a county office, that this decision of whether he has to give up either job is left up to Commonwealth Attorney Tom Wine. Now, here's the thing from the letter that really struck out to me. For one thing, he said that this was a county office. If it's a county
be
office,
careful.
I know.
Be careful.
I know.
Be careful with that, because I've already researched that, and he's
I'm
technically correct.
I'm just
he's
saying.
Technically correct with that. Okay.
I'm just saying.
Now,
I don't care if
the
he's technically
reason
correct
he's technically
or not.
Correct. Okay. The reason he's technically correct is where I'm going to launch.
Well, here we go. Because the technically correct or not, we promote this as the Louisville Metro Council, not the Jefferson County Council, not the Jefferson County Metro Council. Louisville is an incorporated city. Jefferson County is an unincorporated part of the city that was merged only for government. Jefferson County and Louisville have never been officially merged. They supposedly merged operations. Well, in his letter, Jack Conway said to Tom Wine, this is where it gets interesting. He puts in his letter that the Metro Council seat currently held by Commissioner James is a county office. And then he goes on to say that since James has been at his current post as a major at the University of Louisville since September of 2013, that if these offices are incompatible, then pursuant to KRS 61.090, the acceptance of the second office vacates the first office. So what that means is that he couldn't accept the university, that if once he accepted the university job as a policeman, that it automatically vacated the Metro Council seat. Now, here's the thing. He only gave credit to James for being with the Louisville Police Department since September of 2013, which is a lie. James had to take the same oath when he became an officer at the University of Louisville Police Department as he did when he got promoted to major. So that's garbage. And the second thing that I find very interesting is he refers to David James as a commissioner in a county office. We only have three commissioners by constitution in the state of right here in Jefferson County. You've got an A district, a B district, and a C district commissioner, none of which have any job duties, any pay, or nothing. It's a constitutional screw-up that needs to be resolved. So how come we elect David James or any other council member to be a Metro Council member when they are referred to by Attorney General Jack Conway as a commissioner? Fire away, Gus.
I will fire away, and I will not stop. First of all,
let you go. Go ahead.
Without question.
Good, I'm going to go get dinner.
Yes, without question. The evidence in the letter, and I have a copy of it here up on my computer screen, without question, the letter itself is nothing more than a political payback, because it talks about in the title, it says incompatible offices, Metro Councilman David James. And
right.
Then Jack Conway's office, a little further, refers to Louisville Metro Councilman David James, and then two more times talks about him as commissioner. Now, if let's hang on here for a minute. Let's assume that Jack Conway's office wrote this thinking that James is, in fact, a commissioner. Well, if they did that thinking that James is a commissioner, then the three commissioners that are currently holding that Jefferson County commissioner spot have got to be disqualified as well. But if he believes that James is a commissioner, that shows a high level of ignorance pertaining to very simple KRS stuff, and that makes Conway unqualified for the job. He's unqualified if he fails to make simple distinctions like what's the difference between a county commissioner and a metro councilman. Okay, so this is a political tactic. That's all this is. That is that's the first evidence of that. Okay, but it's not the best. The best evidence, but it is the first. All right.
I'm listening.
Within this letter, Jack Conway's office refers to this KRS 61.080 number one, in which he says in an OAG, Office of Attorney General's decision from 2004, where they cited that on this KRS 61, there has to be five items present in order for a person to be considered, for personnel purposes, a division director and a public office of a civil nature. Okay, I'm going to give you the first four that apparently fit nicely. Number one, it's got to be something that has been created by the legislature or created by a municipality. Okay, so this office of Metro Council has been. Number two, must possess a delegation. Excuse me, and also the U of L job. Okay, the U of L job. Number two, it must possess a delegation or portion sovereign power, okay, which it does. Number three, the powers must be converted and duties discharged and must be defined by the legislature, okay. Number five, it must have some permanency or continuity, not be temporary, okay. So those four things fit both David James's job on the University of Louisville Police Force and his job at the Louisville Metro Council, okay. But here's the fifth item that absolutely is going to blow this whole thing up when it comes to Mike O'Connell and these people who want to pay David James back politically. It says here, the last item says, the duties must be performed independently and without control of a superior power other than law. Okay.
Right.
Now, I went to the University of Louisville's Police Department's website, and do you know that David James is not the top dog? He does have a superior. In fact, he has two superiors.
Right.
Two superiors.
Right.
So David James does not fit. His job with the police department at the University of Louisville does not fit the definition that these that Jack Conway's office says disqualifies him for being on the Metro Council.
Right.
Now, guys, we can't have this kind of incompetency on this scale. It's not possible. So it's got to be political. And I'm wondering why one of David James's allies over at WFPL, Mr. Philip Bailey, failed to pick up on these little details when he in fact posted this stuff, you know, on his own website. How come none of these details were ever mentioned? Because Philip Bailey knows how to research and he knows how to read KRSs, but yet none of this gets mentioned. What's going on with this? We have a whole bunch of people trying to screw over one another using public monies all for the sake of saying, gotcha. That's it. Gotcha.
Well, it's interesting to me, as far as Philip Bailey is concerned, I tell you the honest opinion. I know Philip Bailey. I'm a big fan of most of his work, and I talk to the man all the time. He really is a good guy. He is probably one of the best investigative journalists we have left in Louisville, to be honest with you. But he also answers to a boss. In this particular case, the only thing that I could come up with is perhaps that they had him on space limitations, so he really couldn't go through it and explain as much as he normally would. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on this.
Can get as much space. He can get as much space as he wants, depending on the story and depending on what he wants. Philip Bailey is one of the senior people over at WFPL when it comes to politics. Okay,
but he doesn't. But he doesn't make the decision.
But he gets pretty much what he wants. All right, he gets pretty much what he wants.
Well,
so I think Philip Bailey is all part of this entire political gamesmanship that's going on. He's trying to make it look like he doesn't have a dog in this fight, and yet his failure to report the very facts that I found online within a matter of 15 minutes proves to me that Philip is part of the game. He's part of this game.
Well, that's your opinion, and I can't tell you how, you know, what your opinion should be. Obviously, I never would, but in my opinion and in my experience, you know, sometimes it really is that way. I've talked to a lot of prominent people in all walks. I mean, TV, you know, newspapers, all kinds of stuff, and they all tell me the same thing. You know, you meet with the board to discuss the stories, and they decide how far you're allowed to go and how far you're not based on what they want for space. Now, Philip does head up the politics department at WFPL. That's very true. But he is not the final authority or the final say-so on what gets in there and what don't. If the organization, the board, says, hey, look, this is important enough, we want to take this and make it real big, then he can write more. If they say, well, it's not really that important to us, let's cut it, you know, let's just put it out there like this, you know, you still have to fall into that. It's always cutting and picking. But you're entitled to your opinion. I'll let you have it. I ain't going to argue with you on it. But I tell you what does interest me here, though, because we're talking about 61.080 KRS statute, and we're talking about incompatible offices. Paul, tell me, what is a municipality?
A municipality is just basically a city.
Right. Okay, so it's basically a city, right? So,
yeah.
You know, this whole thing is 61.080. It says that the following offices, this is number 5, subsection 5, it says the following offices are incompatible with any other public office. If you're a member of the Public Service Commission, David James is not. A member of the Workers' Compensation Board, David James is not. If you're a commissioner of the fiscal court in counties containing a city of the first class, which Louisville is, David James is not. If you're a county indexer, David James is not. If you're a member of the legislative body of cities of the first class. Now, he is a member of the Metro Council in Louisville, but it's not an incompatible
Hang on. You just made the case for him, Ed. You made the case even stronger for him. Remember, there is a contention on the table that David James is a member. He is a county officer.
You're right.
You just made his case with that.
You're right. And then it goes on. There's three other things here. And incompatible with any other public office. If you're a mayor and member of the Legislative Council, obviously you can't do that. You know, but it goes on. But everything comes down to what's defined as a municipality. The University of Louisville campus is not a municipality. It is not its own city. It is a college campus. It is not a municipality. So as far as this whole thing about you can't do this, fill a county office and a municipal office at the same time, then what Jack Conway just clearly did is said, hey, David James is a Louisville Metro Council member, but it's a county office. So he referenced Louisville as being the municipal office, but he said that the job David James holds as part of his municipal office is a county commissioner. Jack Conway is the one who's screwing this all up. This is ridiculous.
Jack Conway is
no conflict
is
at
showing
all.
Complete, he's showing complete dereliction of duty, or he's dumb as a rock. Take your pick. Take
very
your pick.
Much so. Ed Martin, you have been extremely quiet. Time to weigh in, my friend.
Oh,
I apologize.
I've just been taking all this in. Granted, you know, I'm out in the warehouse slinging plywood all day. So, I'm going to take door number two on that because I've had some run-ins with, you know, seen the friend of the court briefs that the AG has filed. Not that impressive. And again, this is along the jokes, along the lines of the jokes I was making. I was on the JAG the other day about the marriage issue. So look, if there were anybody in the state that the people who want the out-of-state marriages recognize, if there were anybody on the opposing side of the argument, and you could pick them, you could hand-pick them, you would pick Jack Conway because you can trounce him. For these very reasons. I'm sorry. He's just not that good. I've heard jokes all over the place amongst the legal community and the political community. You were standing there when a prominent politician said it one time, Ed. Oh, right. You must be a first-year law student. It's incompetence.
He gets shellacked
every time he tries to go after price gougers. He got called out on the carpet when he was going to take that lame settlement from the federal government on the mortgage fraud until Jake Payne just raked him over it. And he just goes along and he's a poser. I'm sorry. He's not. I don't think he's a bad guy, but as an AG, he is no Elliot Schneiderman. He is or whatever his name, Schneiderman. He's not one of those guys. He's not the go-getter. He's not the one that's going to argue cases and take them all the way to the Supreme Court and make a good run of it. It's just not his speed.
Well, you know, I think you make a good point there, and it's really interesting because, you know, This guy has got to be as dumb as rocks. I mean, I just don't know any other way to explain it. You know, Jack Conway is one of those guys that's part of the good old boy system. That's all it is. That's all it's ever been. He played ball, shoved his nose so far up somebody's butt that they decided they would go ahead and try to make him somebody he's not. I mean, that's the truth of it. You can chastise me. You can get angry with me. You can say or do anything you want to do. But the reality is Jack Conway is worthless. Other than being a political hack. And he has totally screwed up any political career he had. What they did is they picked a pretty boy. They picked a pretty boy, a young pretty boy, and decided they wanted to make him the face of the Democratic Party going forward, and they were going to make him the head of the Democratic Party. All he had to do was play ball, and his life was golden parachute in front of him. But, you know, pretty boys sometimes are dumb as rocks. In my experience, most pretty boys are dumb as rocks. Jack Conway is that guy. He's dumb as rocks. He plays politics instead of looking at his job.
Let's face it. The media doesn't want to drag it up anymore. But this is an attorney general who tipped off somebody that a drug investigation was coming their way. You zip it when that's coming. I mean, you just I don't know. I'll take door number two on that one.
Well, I mean, you know, let's call a spade a spade. It's the truth. And, you know, now he's getting in all kinds of trouble because he just doesn't know how to how to do anything right because he's so busy playing politics, he doesn't learn how to do his job. I mean, you know, let's face it, folks, I'm not being completely crazy here. I mean, the guy had to pass the daggone bar exam. But, you know, just because you look at a book and you read a book, you know, doesn't mean you're the most intelligent person in the world. I tell you, it's really fascinating to me. You want a good example? There's a lot of Big Bang Theory guys out there. There's a lot of Big Bang Theory guys out there who love that show. I'm one of them. And the guy that plays Sheldon Cooper in that show, Sheldon is probably the smartest son of a buck in the world. He's got an ident memory. He can remember anything. Look at a book, he'll remember it, everything in it. But when it comes to everyday dealing, the guy's dumb as a box of rocks, and that's Jack Conway. It's just amazing to me that it has gotten this far, that this guy's had this job for this long, being in politics. And then you throw in the whole Aqua Buddha moment with Rand Paul and the other stuff. He clearly has a clue what the hell he's doing, and this just codifies and reinforces that. So, you know, for me, I looked at this story, and I was just speechless. Especially when I started seeing, like Paul pointed out, you know, Jack Conway is referencing Louisville Metro Councilman David James and then references him later as Commissioner James in a county office. Well, if we're going to do that, then we have 26 commissioners that we call the Louisville Metro Council. And if those guys are getting paid $43,250 a year for a part-time job as county commissioners, then we have three elected county commissioners, A, B, and C district commissioners, who should be filing a lawsuit right now to get paid the same money and be included in decision-making. That's the truth of it. Would you agree?
I would agree that Ed Martin has come across probably the fundamental reason why Jack Conway doesn't want to pursue certain things, and that is in order to pursue things up the ladder, you could end up at a Supreme Court level. And Conway would have to likely argue those cases simply because of the nature of his job. I don't think Conway wants to put himself in that position because he will expose himself as Martin says, a poser.
Expose himself as a fraud. Yep. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, and I think that that's where we're at. So, you know, I'm actually going to advocate for that. For the ABC district commissioners, I think the county judge executive, which is nothing more than a constitutional requirement with no duties as well, that is elect, I think that those people should go ahead and get paid. I think the county judge executive should receive the same pay as the mayor does, because after all, if the mayor and the commissioners that we call the Louisville Metro Council are all county offices, then the mayor assumedly would have to be as well. And if that's the case, based on 67C, then our county judge executive should get paid as well. So maybe we need to revisit this whole thing about recalling mergers.
And you know what? And Brad Matthews, who's actually a damn good guy, he became your best friend.
You betcha. And I know that Brian, the Judge Brian Matthews, listens to this show. I tease him a lot about his no duties, no paid job. He actually is one of those people who really works as one of the guys, he actually really is a good guy that works with trying to do something with the office, even though it's not anything more than a constitutional thing. But he also has surgery, folks. I'm not allowed to talk about it on air, and I won't, but he is down for a while. So to Brian, I know you listen to this show. Best wishes, Godspeed on recovery, my friend. But you know, it is interesting though, because if we're going to go down this road, then that's what we need to do. And I think, you know, Paul, there has been a recall effort afoot behind the scenes for quite some time. I think that this should solidify the deal. I think that we ought to have people out there right now saying, "Hey, okay, here we are. Now we're going to go ahead and start with this recall. Y'all thought we were garbage. You know, our own attorney general just said we were right. So why not? You know what I mean?" Why not? So I'm going to talk to some people involved in that. I'm going to talk to some people involved in that, see if they want to be interested in maybe doing that. And I might actually get involved in that myself. I don't have much time anymore, but we're going to make time for something that important, because Jack Conway just said it was important. So let's give the Attorney General his due. You know, man, I tell you what, we spent a lot of time on a few stories here, and I apologize. You know, we're going to be out of time in just a minute. But one quick thing I want to put out there real fast. KET, Bill Goodman, I don't normally push anything for KET or anybody else. They're not paid advertisers. But this is going to be interesting. Bill Goodman is the moderator for Kentucky Tonight over at KET. And I suggest you guys watch that tonight at 8 o'clock as soon as the show is over. Because his guests are going to be there, and they're going to discuss some current legislation in front of the General Assembly. And what this legislation is going to do is create a medical review panel system to use in civil litigation cases against health care providers. So what does this essentially mean? Tort reform. You know, we got a couple of minutes. What do you guys think about that?
Dead on arrival.
Well,
this is the kind of thing that's going to require some marketing, some heavy marketing, because nobody's a stranger to the way, you know, to the marketing machine that's already in place for the trial attorneys, so, and the malpractice attorneys. So if it sees the light of day, you're going to see a barrage on it. It's one of those things. It's like it's one of those pieces of legislation that's just going to take years to haggle out, and it's just going to take a massive amount of marketing. It's not in place. There's not enough time left in the session to get it done.
Paul, go ahead.
I'm with Martin insofar as this type of thing is so complex, there's no way that they can address it this go-around. No way. Absolutely not. Otherwise, they'll come up with something like, Connect, which they're touting as a major success. And we all know from statistics that it is not a major success because it is actually as bad in a lot of respects as Obamacare is. But it too was something that that state government leaders decided that they wanted to do, Bashir in particular. I don't think something like that needs to be rushed through, okay? I really, really don't. I'm with Martin on that. We need a lot more time and a lot more study and a lot more research done on the effects of that before we go barging down that road.
See, I'm going down a different road than you guys are, and I'll tell you what that road is. You mentioned Steve Bashir and Kentucky Necked. We know that there is lawsuits going on. Our good friend David Adams has been the driving force behind this illegal thing that Steve Bashir started called Kentucky Neck. We also know that, you know, our legislatures aren't really wanting to deal with this issue, but they have no choice. So there's going to be a late decision on this. We know this. But it's going to be interesting because part of Kentucky Neck is going to have to be controlling costs, and part of those costs are legal costs. That's just the way it is. So since this involves health insurance providers, that's the key word here, that would mean the people in Kentucky who are providing health insurance, whether through Kentucky Neck, the Obamacare Exchange, all this other stuff that's going on, you know, would be ultimately do with this. So I think for me, what I'm really wanting to see is if you guys are right and they're not going to waste any time with this and they're going to call it DOA, or if they actually spend a lot of time on this, it's going to tell us which way they're leaning towards this whole Steve Bashir illegal Kentucky Neck scam. So that's what I'm actually looking for. I'm really wanting to see how.
I don't think they're going to run away from it. I just don't think, you know, we look at this legislature, they queue it up months and months and months ahead of time and can't pass legalized gambling. They queue so much stuff up and can't get it done. I mean, I'm sorry, but there's a level of incompetence and dysfunction that to take something on this big, first off, I don't think they're capable of it. It's going to literally, I think it'll take four or five sessions for them to, you know, hammer out some of the details in the off season and have a few elections run on some issues like this to clear out some of the dead wood either way, either side of the equation. And they just can't pass anything. And to be perfectly honest, I don't want them to. It sounds good. It does. But if they rush a bill through, we're going to find ourselves in the state of Kentucky in the, well, we'll have to pass it to see what's in it category. And this is kind of a big issue. So I don't want, you know, by all means, take your time.
Well, I tell you, and I tell you what the other big issue is right now. We are completely out of time. Paul, thank you so much for the call, man. Always good to hear from you and get your perspective. And I'm like, this whole commission versus Metro Councilman thing is really funny to me. Paul, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Ed Martin, final thoughts.
Oh, man. You know, I always say, stay cynical. And that's not always just policy. That sometimes goes towards people. You know, look at people, as like we were talking about Jack Conway. Sorry, but I'm going to have to choose door number two. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. Sometimes you can joke about it, sometimes you can't, but it's like, hey, you work for me, and you're not doing a very good job. So, you know, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing out of line for people to pipe up and say, you know what, I don't think this guy's very good. I don't give a damn if he's a two-term AG. I don't care if he passed the bar exam. At some point, it starts getting cross-eyed, and it just doesn't add up, like it's the David James thing. I mean, something to Paul roll on with that, it was just like, wow. Like you said, 15 minutes, no staff. I mean, if that doesn't scream a measure of incompetence, I don't know what does.
Well, I'm totally in agreement with you there. It's going to be interesting to me to see how it all works out. I tell you, I am very intrigued by the wording of this thing by Jack Conway, and I think we just opened up a whole can of worms. This is to throw it back to Commonwealth's attorney Tom Wine. For one thing, to me, it was a very interesting turn of events to not even know how to classify Louisville Metro Council members is even more disturbing, because you know they passed all this merger and everything else. You know, they had all the answers and all this stuff, and now we're still saying these guys are really county commissioners. Well, you can't be both, I think the argument for James is concrete. I think James wins hands down. He should win hands down because U of L is not a municipality, and that's all of these laws, these KRS statutes that they keep trying to state allude to, is competing municipalities. And University of Louisville does not qualify as such. Not that, you know. So it's strange to me. We're going to find out more going forward. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, same time, same channel. Ed Martin will be here as always. Thank you guys for listening in. We appreciate it. Until then, have a great night. Thank you, Mr. Martin.
Have a good one, Mr. Springsteen.
Okay, take care, folks.